like Coron, Louisiana.
Coron, Louisiana.
Right. This is God. And they put the picture of the white God right next to their face. The missionaries came. We had the land and they had the Bible. But when they left, we had the Bible and they had the land. Arabic writings, verses from the Quran, some hadiths written on parchments and walls and on mounds and so forth.
In states in this country.
In Oklahoma, New Mexico.
This is documented here, the blonde hair, blue eye God. Then over here, you go to the nation, and then you got this Pakistani, Farad Muhammad, as a God. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the Deen Show. I'm Eddie, your host, and I have a special guest. Now, when I say his name, don't jump out of your seat, all right, for those that are not acquainted with the meaning jihad. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, rahmatullahi barakatuh.
How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Now, so your first name, Jihad.
Jihad.
Some people jumping out of their seats now.
Yeah, that's good. They should be jumping for joy. And just simply put, jihad means struggle. We all want to do good things, whether we're Christian, Jewish, otherwise. And that jihad begins with yourself. That jihad, if I want to do good charity, I want to improve my neighborhood, it is a struggle. And we want to please, and if you have faith, you want to please your Lord. And that jihad starts with yourself. And so it's different forms of that jihad. It's with your intentions, your tongue, and your hand. Mm-hmm. And if they're, as men and responsible citizens, if something comes to the fore, you might have to raise up to your hand. And a lot of people confuse the word jihad with the word harp. Harp is the disruptive, destructive form, but jihad is always good and just been misappropriated. So those of us that know better has to do a better job rather than cowering and letting the misrepresentation of jihad permeate. Say, no, jihad, everybody should jihad. You get up in the morning, it's a jihad. Mm-hmm. I got jihad to make a good grade on my paper.
You were doing some jihad even before you were a Muslim as a Chicago cop, you know, against criminals, no? You're a Chicago cop for how long?
Not too long. It was just a fleeting experience with the Chicago Police Department.
You also worked for the City of Chicago.
Chicago in the research department, doing some statistical. I was a statistician. Yeah. I don't know how I always get the number running jobs.
And now now we're in Miami, huh? You're what you do developing here for?
I'm a developer. Addressing the social economic inequities, working hard to put forward sustainable housing projects. You have to do housing. If you go into medical professions, you got surgeons, you got practitioners and therapists, and in economic development, I think housing is important because housing buttresses educational attainment, job sustainability, and it tamps down social dysfunctions in the family. So that has always been elusive to African Americans and others that have been shut out.
Do you have any life stories? Let's go back to your name before we push forward. Tell me, like, this seems like a really good opportunity to share. Like, you know, when have you ever had someone, you meet someone, say a Christian or somebody who's not yet Muslim, and you introduce yourself, and everything smiles right, and then you say, what's your name? Jihad. Have you ever had someone get taken back? And then it's a great opening to go ahead and, like you just did.
Well, not so much, surprisingly, with all the hullabaloo about jihad, I can't hold on to a lot of bad experiences. People probably mutter behind my back, but it's out of ignorance. And recently somebody say, oh, jihad, holy war. They think they know something, but if you say that, you're going to get education. So I'm going to tell you about jihad, and I'm going to tell you about you didn't want to know, because I want to hold on to all these distortions about Muslims and Islam, and now you came and showed me that I was wrong. I wish I had kept my mouth shut, so I shouldn't have said anything about jihad, because now you know better.
Yes. So always a good teaching opportunity. That's real important.
Yeah.
So
let's moments.
Teachable moments. Let's go back to your early beginnings. Now, you grew up in a Christian Baptist household?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us about that. How was your early years?
It's mostly about the order. It was really more akin to the more moral order that permeated this country and the society. We were moral in general. We wasn't buck wild and loosey-goosey and extreme in those days. So whether you're Baptist or whatever denomination, what was in the household is respect for elders, seeking education, being a good neighbor, being a good citizen. And the theological part of it was a smorgasbord of different things. So some people were in the Holiness Church or the Sanctified Church or the Methodist or the Presbyterian or the African Methodist Episcopalian. But in general, when you walked out of your house, you didn't always know what brand of Christianity folks were. But what we had was that proper upbringing about that, even though it was Christian. In the early days, I used to see this picture. My father was a commercial artist. And I used to see this picture of a white image of Jesus, and he was praying. And then later I found out...
Where did you see this image now?
It was somewhere, one of the churches. And then...
Was it in the...
In a church. He was up against a rock, and he was praying like this.
And he was the white Jesus.
White Jesus, yeah.
Yeah. Now, was this in an African-American church, or...?
Yeah, all the African-American church had white Jesus.
Yeah?
Every one of them.
I heard some of them, you go, he had African-American Jesus. I've seen that.
That didn't come until after the Nation of Islam.
Oh.
It has to be attributed from vanquishing the image of white Jesus in a good number of churches.
So they were responsible for that, huh?
They were responsible for that. Okay. I bear witness they were.
Okay, so let's go back. So you see the white Jesus now, blue eyes?
Of course.
Of course.
You know, it's just like somebody used to tell me a story. They would go to different countries of the undeveloped native country, and they come with a picture. This is God. And they put the picture of the white God right next to their face. So the folks said, well, it must be God's cousin or son or grandson, so I better do what he says.
Oh.
It was a tool of colonialism.
A tool of colonialism, huh?
Right. I want your minerals, and I want your labor, and I want to put you to work that benefits me. And so one of the ways you could do that is like another little amusing thing that we always say is that when the missionaries came, we had the land and they had the Bible. But when they left, we had the Bible and they had the land.
Mm.
So that was foundational to the subjugation in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the problem of all Christians, because there are Christians that are sincere. They just don't have all the information that some of the rest of us have.
When did you find out in history? We were talking earlier, and you talk about how 600 years, how the Muslims before Columbus were here, and then they came alongside with Columbus, right? And having such a big stake in America. So when people start, you know, some of these Islamophobes and very uneducated people who don't know history, but then they come out and say, go back to Africa, go back home.
Yeah, right. Well, you know, you have the nerve and the gall. Were it not for those Muslims, it's places that, you know, like Quran, Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Right. Mecca, California. Muslims was there. They left their imprint. You have writings, or if you were talking about Egyptology or Greek hieroglyphics, but you would see Arabic writings, verses from the Quran, some hadiths written on parchments and walls and on mounds and so forth.
In states in this country.
This country, in Oklahoma, New Mexico.
This is documented. This is
documented.
It's facts, it's not fiction. People facts. Go look this up.
Yeah, it's part of the three-part tragedy that's been beset upon this country. The genocide, slavery, and omission. The omission continues. The omission, omitting that history. We're one day out of Black History Month. It shouldn't be such thing as Black History Month. The only reason that's a Black History Month is because they leave out the history. And if we are successful, we won't need to have a Black History Month. History is history, no matter who does it. And so I think what you were asking me about Muslims, there's a great explosion of immigration from people from Muslim countries in the last 20 years. And they come sometimes bending backwards and sometimes, I think, overdoing it. I think those Muslims that come here should be very presumptive. You don't have to keep apologizing. I used to criticize us in the Black struggle. Stop apologizing for something that you're not responsible for. Stop apologizing for something that you don't do. Take that time and acquaint people about Islam and be matter of fact about it. In fact, you have a stake in this country because Muslims were here, not because they were Black, because they were Muslims. So Muslims have been here foundationally. America is an industrial, technological, military giant proportion to the contributions that those Africans brought to this country. They happen to be Muslims. And I say the Muslims because the Muslims that they did, the Africans they brought over this country were two types. They were either Muslim or they were animist or ancestor worship. The Muslims were literate. They were educated. They could read. So when they got here, they became the quartermaster of the supplies. And sometimes they was paired with a very ignorant, straw boss, white guy who could beat and whip, but he couldn't count. He couldn't read. So he would have his first assistant would be this African. And the African would be a Muslim, because the Muslims could count and read. They had agriculture. They knew crop rotations. They knew the stars. They knew everything. They was part of the Moors. But even more over, archaeologically and anthropologically, there's a personality in Muslim history called Mansa Musa. And it says he went from the west, the Maghrib, to the east. He had so much gold, the price of gold fell. He had more gold. And his predecessor set sail to the west with 200 ships that were never seen again. And they came to the Americas. And so some accounts suggest that that Muslims, Africans, were here 800 years before Columbus. And that's why Queen Isabella and Ferdinand got a notion or got a sense something was happening. Mm-hmm. And then they conscripted some navigators and people who can chart the stars, and they were Muslims because they built the astrolabe and the telescopes and knew the stars and had the math. So they brought them here. So no Muslim has to apologize for it. They had representation. Muslims are here. And because this deen tells us not to set ourselves in what racial distinction, the last sermon that Prophet Muhammad, God be pleased with him, said there the Black is not better than the white, or the Arab, the non-Arab better than non-Arab, and back and forth. So we were representatives of Islam more than we were representative of just being Africans. Mm-hmm. And that's how we brought here. And we brought those things that are foundational, that made America the economic, industrial, military, technological giant that it is today.
That's deep. Wow. Now, if you go from this part of your life, you had a short journey also to the nation, correct?
Right.
Yeah. Can you talk about that before we get into what led you to actually coming to true Orthodox Islam?
Yes. What I later found upon is that it was the struggle. We read the books. One was getting our identity. When I was in grammar school, if you were called Black and you see how people of Caucasian race, they blush and get red. If you call a Black person Black, they would blush out of shame. Mm. Ashamed. That's how we felt about ourselves, worthlessness. And through the agency of the nation, they gave a pill. Black is beautiful. Black is good. Oh, in fact, you're more than a color. You're not just a Black man. You're an African man. They're responsible for we referring to ourselves as African Americans. That is attributed to the leadership of W.D. Muhammad in terms of that. We got out of that Negro color, even Black. Black was too limiting for us. So the Nation of Islam, and then when I and just go a little bit forward, and I come back real quick, is that God, Allah, in the Quran says, I bring the living from the dead and the dead from the living. We were dead to the knowledge of our true selves. We were dead and to the knowledge of our history and our contributions. And with the agency of the Nation of Islam, we, one, got a sense of pride in ourselves and understanding that it was good. And we had good spokesmen, unwittingly, like Muhammad Ali and Malik El-Haj El-Shabazz, the commonly referred to as Malcolm X, who were bold, who were bold. There are some Muslims here, they might have been from Turkey and other Albania or other places. It was pockets of those Muslims here, but they practiced their Islam in secret. But the Nation practiced Islam in your face. And we learned that God was Allah, and that Quran was the book revealed by Allah to his last messenger, Muhammad, may God be pleased with him. That was the jumping off point. So if you look at the Nation, Muslims who are strictly adherent to their faith, as they should, would see that it wasn't perfect. But then I go back to, I bring the living from the dead and the dead from the living. So you can use some waste matter and grow some good crops. Mm. So this was way, way more better than that. So this was where we got to the point we are. When, if you're a Muslim and you came here in the last 30 years, then thank Allah for the Nation of Islam, Marcus Garvey, Elijah Muhammad, and Warid Muhammad, and others. And it's more others than I can speak to now. I should quickly give some attribution to Dr. Hakeem Quick. He's
Abdullah Hakeem Quick.
Yeah, Sheikh. He could give you, he can do this much better than me, but that is a great resource in terms of the history of Africans in America.
Now, what you talk about is you flip over the one of the biggest newspapers, right, in Chicago or in America? Well, that was the Nation News, what was it called?
Oh, well, it started out as the, well, early days was a Final Call. Then it became
Final Call.
And then it became Muhammad Speak.
Yeah.
Then Muhammad Speak became what is known now as the Bilalian News, and then the Muslim Journal.
Okay.
Those are the evolutionary part. Then Farrakhan changed his name to Abdul Halim Farrakhan, went to Mecca and all that stuff, and was with Warid Muhammad, but then he broke away and revived the Final Call.
Yeah. So you have in Christianity where there was the worship of Jesus and then turning him into a God, Son of God, into a triune God. Mm. Then you come over to the Nation and you flip that newspaper, and there in the Articles of Faith, now you have one of the beliefs is believing for our Muhammad is God. So where these things, you know, we have the fitra, the innate disposition, you know what I mean? And now attributing divinity to the creation is something that usually it just kind of your fitra, innate disposition, it kind of rejects. So were you feeling, how was your feeling towards going from here, the blonde hair, blue eye God, then over here you go to the Nation, and then you got this Pakistani, Farad Muhammad, as a God?
Well, it was kind of dicey, but in a practical sense, they were in a sense saying he was God. Personally, I just never grasped onto that. They say he appeared in the person of God, not making any excuses for him, but it's just a little tiny nuance. They didn't say Farad is God, but that was problematic. That was problematic. And all of us young folks, we were in the black movement and the civil rights struggle. We were just learning to love and appreciate our identity and ourselves and learning our history. So you had all this, and then you had this theology, and flawed as it was somewhat acceptable because they also insisted that God was somehow more resembling the black experience and the black persona. But what we did, we just got into a staging area to get the true Islam. We would not have gotten it otherwise had we not went through that movement. Mm. And coming through that and looking back on it, we're praying very hard that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides Brother Farrakhan.
Ameen.
He could be one of the most powerful men on earth if he embraced the full sunnah. And that we pray that he gets this and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives him of his sins, shortcomings, and his misguidance on this area. Because that is what is on the back of that newspaper is antithetical to Islam.
It's the opposite to Islam, right?
It's an antithetical. I mean, you can't criticize Christianity and embrace that because that would be the same. But usually people outside of Islam, they focus on these exceptions. Now, like in Christianity, you have countless dominations, denominations, and stuff. And the overwhelming majority of Muslims are on what we refer to as the Sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in a practical everyday life, the most impactful part of Islam is the people that follow the right. But generally, we get more inquiry from outside of Islam about those things. They do the same thing about Shia versus Sunni, you know, and we spend more time than it's worth talking about those differences. And so I always like to bring the conversation back to Islam because the proof is in the pudding. So if you present Islam as it is, if somebody would sit down and listen to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has, God be highly praised and glorified, what he said compared to what somebody else said that they don't have any basis, we wouldn't have to have as much conversation about it. So personally, I try to not take up the oxygen and the air and the time to put too much discussion on it as I could be saying something that is true and relevant to true Islam exception because he's not that impactful except that very organized and otherwise progressive. But I will say one thing. It's just like people will say, well, I'm a good person. I do charity. I do work. I'm clean. I'm nice. I'm not racist. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I only created mankind and the jinn to worship me. Mm-hmm. So if you're all that nice and you're good and you're clean and you don't love and respect Allah, God, then it's not going to benefit you that much. But God's going to give you some measure, but that might not get you where you want to go.
Yeah.
It might not keep you out of the hellfire. Mm-hmm. So those who focus on Islam, its exception, and whatever the mistakes they are, maybe they're in the staging ground, and maybe they'll get out of it. But the overwhelming bulk, majority of Muslims that's worth talking about is the ones that are practicing right. And those who call themselves Muslims, the majority of them are practicing right Muslims. So we keep continuing to be a good example and not spend so much time. Because if we turn around to criticize them, that's what the powers that don't mean either side any good. Because Farrakhan is doing a lot of great things. He's just not, some of us think that he can do a whale of a better job of representing Islam if he's going to say Islam.
Yeah, it's like, it reminded me, it's like somebody who's has all these qualities, but they're not showing up to class, mm-hmm. they're not showing up to work, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, mm-hmm. you know, you're not going to pass that test if you don't go ahead and show up to class and do what your professor told you to do. But in this greater context, what our Creator wants us to do. Now, you end up doing that. You end up, in the last few minutes that we have, talk about the difference now when you got exposed to the pure monotheism, the tawhid.
Mm-hmm.
of Islam, submission to the Creator, not the creation?
Well, alhamdulillah, all praise to God that he says, I now have created you except for the worship of me. I remember taking philosophy courses at DePaul University. I don't know why a good Catholic university would not spend more time on their theology and without this Jean-Paul Sartre thing. So what's the purpose of life? What's the meaning of man? Well, Islam answered that question. The purpose of your life is to worship me. You come from me and you're going to come back to me. And I've given you your human manual. And I've given you a person who's that man you're walking, and that was this prophet who provided for us a perfect example of human conduct as a husband, a father, a businessman, and as a general, so that we can conduct ourselves, how we can do cosmopolitan things, interacting with people, to intimate things like going to the toilet, eating with our right hand, and cleansing ourselves when we come in from the privity with our left hand. Those are the important things about Islam, so that we can conduct our lives. And it is short. And it's short. And this is a portal. It's a portal. And we're taught that we're created on two natures. And we go in the mirror and pinch ourselves and say, yes, that's me. But actually, we ride this physical body like you would drive a car. The car is going to wear out, but the superior part of yourself is going to keep going on. That's going to take the responsibility starting in the grave. Mm. And we will get punished in the grave if we didn't follow that manual. And we don't follow that manual, then we're lost. But the best of those who show mercy is God Almighty. And he's going to give you your justice, even if it's just the weight of a mustard seed. So you have to beware. And when you get in this stage of life, like this clock that's ticking down now, you get more consciousness and what we call, Muslims call taqwa, consciousness about it. It's not the distraction. And that book tells us it's not about the big boogie, the big party, the fancy clothes and all that stuff. It's about that eventual meeting by which there is no doubt that you're going to meet your Lord. You're going to come out of here and go through this portal called death in the grave, and you're going to be brought out of it. So we live this life so that we can get that permanent, eternal life, pleasing him who gave us whatever we got. The next breath that I breathe is given to me. And whatever we got comes from Almighty God.
I want to thank you. Thank you for spending some time with us and sharing some of your story. I really appreciate it. Inshallah, it could be an inspiration, motivation for many more out there.
My life and my death is for Allah.
Alhamdulillah.
The Lord of the worlds.
Thank you, Sheikh.
Thank you very much.
Alaykum as-salam. And thank you guys for tuning in. If you'd like a free copy of the Quran to learn more, visit thedeanshow.com. And if you still have any questions, go ahead and call us at 1-800-662-ISLAM, 4752. We'll see you next time here on The Dean Show. Subscribe if you haven't already to get all of our up-and-coming shows so you don't miss out. And we'll see you next time, inshallah. Until then, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum. And if you like this episode of The Dean Show, like this video, share this video far and wide, and support us on our Patreon page so we can continue this work. Thank you for tuning in. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.